everybody, welcome back to Festool Shop Talk Podcast. We just wrapped up on Instagram Live with Jason Bent from Bent's Woodworking. He is an incredible social media guru in the woodworking realm. We realize how he got started and what he does and how he does it. It is so insightful. You got to give this one a listen. So, hey, don't forget, you got to subscribe to his channels at Bent's Woodworking, whether it's YouTube or Instagram, Facebook, and he has his own website. Also, don't forget to subscribe to Festool Shop Talk. Cool. So we're on the Festool USA homepage on Instagram, and we're starting our the TSC 55 launch party with you, Jason. But it's also one of the beginning. I think you are episode number 2 of Festool Shop Talk. So we're really excited about this. What I'm going to do, everybody, is I introduce that this is Jason Bent from Bent's Woodworking. I've known Jason for a few years now. And what I'd like to do is have Jason tell you guys all a little bit about himself.
Okay, so as I was saying before, so I'm actually in the Army. I've been in the Army for just over 18 years. This is actually where I'm going to be retiring at here in Indiana. And so for me, I started Bent's Woodworking, which started out as a custom. Actually, I take that back. My wife asked me to build a table. I built a table. I was hooked. I sold my bass boat that I had at the time, which I absolutely loved. Like, that was my woodworking back then. And I just got obsessed with woodworking, and I got obsessed with tools and learning new techniques. And so then I started to build furniture for clients. And as I started to build furniture for clients, then you know, my shop started to grow because I invested all of my money back into my shop. And then that's kind of when I started to go down the Festool rabbit hole, and overdosing on the green Kool-Aid, you know? So,
oh, I know.
Then one day I just said, you know what? I've kind of built the shop up the way that I wanted it to. And YouTube was a huge contributing factor into me growing in woodworking and learning a lot of stuff. So I said, hey, I like to teach. Why not start making some videos? And I started making YouTube videos on it. And I enjoy teaching. I think it's something that I do fairly well just because of my time as a drill sergeant. So I just started doing that. And I kind of gave up on doing client work. And it's just turned into all of this. And it has been great. And that's kind of why I am doing what I am doing now.
Very, very cool. Huh. You sold your bass boat?
I did.
Wow, you going to get another one?
I absolutely want to get another one.
I just found out not too long ago you were a fisherman. Too cool.
Oh, yeah.
You've been using Festool for a while, yeah, haven't you?
Yeah, a few years now. Yep.
I am looking in the background of your shop. Is that the new TSC 55? It is. Wow.
Always an easy reach.
Yeah.
It's probably been, it's not, and this isn't just a plug because it's the launch party, but it is hands down the most used tool that I've used on this miter saw station by far. I used it to break down all of the sheet goods, everything for this entire project. So I've been using it a lot.
Way cool. So what that miter saw station, what saw you got in there?
Capex.
That's what I call a loaded question, baby.
Yep. Actually, I mean, pretty much anything on the wall behind me, you know, is very similar to the stuff that's in your shop there.
Yeah, I imagine. Actually, I've been watching that build on your stories, and it's pretty cool. Boy, you built that really quick, huh?
So it's funny. I always get this. A lot of people always like, man, I can't believe how fast you work. I actually always think that I work very slowly. But I guess, I don't know. I guess it's because, you know, comparisons of like, okay, if I'm going to go in there just on a Saturday and Sunday and build something, it might take me 2 months to do it. As opposed to, you know, if I'm throwing together some cabinets and I can get a lot done in 2 days and then the next night I'm out here and the next night I'm out here. But I always feel like I'm dragging on projects. But I mean, overall, I think it went fairly quickly.
Yeah. You know, everybody's been calling out here at Festool all the plywood I had in the background.
I just, the last 2 days, I assembled all 30 cabinets. So you're going to see the new sys wall going in pretty quick.
Oh, nice.
I feel like I haven't moved quick enough. I know where you're coming from. Okay, so you have a, if I remember right, correct me if I'm wrong, you have a 55 and a 75 corded version, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay. So you know what's going on, and you were part of our test program. We sent out a TS55CK. God, I keep forgetting these model numbers.
Yeah. And
so let me ask you, what is the differentiator between this new saw and the saws you've been using?
Easily the blade.
Huh. Do you think you're cutting faster?
100%.
No kidding, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very cut and dry for me. It's very easy. This thing has exceeded every expectation that I had. I 100% am going to be getting rid of the TS55 corded. And honestly, I'm considering doing away with the TS75. And it's not because I don't like them. I have no need for the battery corded platform, especially with the 55 now, because the battery life, which is, I'm sure, is another topic that we'll discuss. But I mean, I'm reaching for that constantly because it's just so much easier. It cuts faster. It's absolutely incredible. And the TS75 for me, I'm not cutting things that require that much depth, really, at this point. You know, when I was doing client work, it's a little bit different. So I could absolutely get by with just that. And it's just phenomenal. I did a test cut. I did this on my Instagram. I was trying to figure out, and this is dealing directly with the blades. I was trying to figure out what would be a really, really good way to test this, and not only test this, but also compare it to the corded version. The full kerf from Festool versus the thin kerf. And I had this big piece of Babinga in the shop. And I said, well, this is definitely the hardest wood that I've ever used myself. And that's the hardest wood that I have in the shop. Why not mill some of this up and try to do some test cuts? And I think I remember telling you this. I actually, initially, because I was a little bit nervous, I actually did the first cut at half the depth, yeah, ran it through, and then would go back and do a full cut to complete the cut. So I'd make, it's an 8/4 Babinga. So I would make the cut in two passes. Well, when I did that, not only did it not bog down at all, like you didn't hear anything. I was like, you know what? I know I can make a full cut. So I went back over and I did the full cut with a thin kerf. And then I did the same test with my TS55 with a full kerf. And I only made it like 6 or 7 inches with the standard crosscut blade. Now, and I know that that's not the blade that, you know, Festool would obviously recommend to do a rip cut on 8/4 Babinga, but I thought that being able to use both the rip blade and the crosscut blade on both saws, mm-hmm, would really be able to showcase the difference. And I was 100% right. Like it gave me the results exactly what I expected and exactly what I needed to see. And I just think that was a really good test. And I mean, you can listen to it even. I put all 4 videos in a row and labeled it down in the description. You can listen to it and, yep, hear just how efficient and effective that saw is compared to the corded version with a full kerf blade. So the thin kerf blades for me is by far the biggest discriminating factor on that saw.
Same. When I first got one, I think it was last October, and everybody was talking about the kickback stop, and it's fantastic. I mean, it works. But for me, it was the blade. And I just broke down 16 sheets of that pre-finished maple plywood without skipping a beat. And what blew me away is, I'd like to compare apples to apples. The runtime on that 5.2 Bluetooth battery blew me away. And I'm not supposed to be blown away, but you get more efficiency with that thin kerf blade out of that battery. And yeah, I was amazed with it. I think I did all 16 sheets and I got like 5 or 6. I have it written down somewhere. I took a picture of it. And I like out of the 16 sheets, I think I went through 2 batteries. That's it.
So that that was another test that I wanted to do, because I want to do a full video on YouTube, but I really wanted to be able to give this thing a really good test and a run for its money so I could, you know, adequately discuss versus what I've been using. Unfortunately, I never used the TSC 55. But so this is the first battery operated track saw that I've used. One of the tests that I wanted to run, and I believe you and I spoke about this, is I actually wanted to go buy a sheet of 3/4 inch plywood and just do 1 inch, 8 foot long rips and see just how many cuts. And then I was like, well, you know, that's kind of a big waste of money to just go break down a sheet of plywood into a bunch of inch long strips. So I put it to the test on the miter saw station. Before I told you, I cut everything with this track saw. I broke down every sheet, every cabinet, every drawer, all the boxes. I broke everything down into the sizes that I needed using the track saw. And I made it all the way to the very last cut on the very last drawer front, and the battery died halfway through the cut. So for multiple days, multiple cuts, no issues with the battery. And then it was done. And I put them on the charger. I put new batteries on and I made my last cut and I was done with breaking everything down. So that with me, I've always been very hesitant. And I've talked about this a lot. I've always been very hesitant on battery platforms.
Sure.
And my mindset behind it was always, well, here's a really good example. If I'm plugging in the dust extraction to that, which I do use that a lot, right? But I've been testing out both, you know, with the bag and with the dust extraction. And if I'm hooking up the hose, it makes sense to hook up the power cord. So why do I need to go cordless, right? And then I'm like, oh, and then if the battery dies, you got to make sure you have batteries that are charged and all this stuff, right? This track saw, not to mention any other, you know, battery operated, like the drills, all that stuff. I might charge my drills like once a month. This completely took that out for me. I have absolutely zero concern, zero wonder. I know exactly how long it's going to last. It'll get me through 2, 3, 4 days, me doing heavy work in here. Yeah. And then, you know, having spare batteries. But the thing that ended up that I love the most about it is now I don't have that power cable grabbing on stuff.
Right.
Because the hose doesn't grab on things nearly as much as that power cable does. Sure. So that's been another a big difference for me is, you know, any reservations that I had about going to a battery operated machine are completely gone now. Completely. Matter of fact, some of the stuff I have, you know, like my jigsaw. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's I want to switch that over to a cord or cordless. Yeah, non-corded.
Huh, man. Hey, when I see you this coming up weekend, I owe you $10 for that beautiful that beautiful recommendation for the TSC.
Oh yeah.
Wow. You know what? Here at Festool, Jace, I'll tell you right now, we get giddy with these tools. We use them every day, but to hear it from you, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I agree. I have a TS-55 EQ at home, and I'm actually thinking of getting a TSC-55K, and it's because of the blade.
Oh, yeah.
It's quicker, you know?
And it's just that Panther blade or the ripping blade on there. That thing is insane.
And it gives you a great finish side of the cut as well. Yeah. I'm just blown away. And at 45, too. As you know, and I'm preaching to the choir. I know I am. Okay. Hey, I know you have a bit of Festool, but I'm going to ask you a few questions here.
Okay. On
the topic of the 55, if you don't mind. When did you start, or how were you brought into the Festool system? What happened? What turned you on to it?
Honestly, when I first started woodworking, I didn't even know what Festool was. And I think that that's most people's experience. I'd never heard of Festool. I'd never been to like a legitimate woodworking store. I started like most other people, you know, going to Lowe's and Home Depot. So the tool brands that I thought were the tool brands were the ones that were sold at Lowe's and Home Depot. And then I started going to Highland Woodworking in Atlanta, and also the Woodcraft of Atlanta. And I saw these big booths, you know, and it said Festool this and had all these tools. And then I went and looked at the price and I was like, nope, see ya. And I would walk over. asked the guys, they're like, where's your DeWalt and where's your Bosch and where's all this other stuff? And, you know, of course, they don't have those products there for the most part. And so then I started doing a little bit of research and started watching some YouTube videos to try to find out about it. And then one day I finally just got Highland Woodworking is a fantastic festival dealer.
Oh, sure.
They have one of the biggest selections I've seen and a very helpful staff. And I went in there one day and I said, you know, I kind of want to get something just to see what it's like. And the logical thing for me to buy at the time, I figured, was a random orbital sander. And that's when I bought the ETS 125. And I actually went there with the intention on buying the ETS EC, but I was able to test both sanders in the store. And then, you know, they hooked it up to their CT vacs that they had there, and they put a little piece of wood on the MFT, you know, and they're like, yeah, go ahead and sand this. And they marked some lines on it. And I used the ETS-EC. And initially my first reaction is I was so used to the, you know, DeWalt style, Porter cable style, Bosch style. I started using that. And I just felt like, you know, the way that it sat is something that I just wasn't used to. And I said, well, what about that sander right there? And it was the ETS 125. And at the time, it was the cheapest sander, and, you know, still to this day is. I think it was $199 back then. I said, you know what? Maybe this isn't a bad way to get into this. So I used it. I just liked the way that it felt. I bought that sander. The guy talked me into buying a CT MIDI. Went home, used it on a project that afternoon. The very next day, I went and bought a track saw. And then a week later, I bought the Domino and the K-Pax. And
I got to interrupt. You just said that, and Chris is shaking his nodding his head behind you. Yeah, baby. Boy, do I have a similar story, too. I'll tell you someday about it. I didn't believe the price. I bought the track saw. And then I went back and bought another $5,000 worth of Festool about.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny, you know, I get messages constantly from people, cause, you know, everybody knows that I'm a Festool junkie, and I've invested a lot of money on Festool, just like you have. And after I had that first experience at that dealer, went home, used the tools, saw a drastic difference. It just solidified it for me. And legitimately ever since that day, cause when I looked at the track saw, I'm like, man, that is a lot of money for what I was looking at as a circular saw. The very next day I went back and bought it, and I've had zero reservations on, you know, price of the tool, because it's so much more than just the tool and the name, right?
Right.
It's how everything works together. And that, as soon as, cause I didn't know that at first. When I bought the sander and the dust extractor, I didn't know that that stuff worked together. I didn't know that it was all meant to be a system. I just thought they made really cool tools.
Good.
And then I bought the track saw, and then I bought the Domino, and then it just kept going. Then I bought the, you know, the router, and I bought this, and I bought that. And I'm like, holy cow, all of these things work together. And I don't have to be looking for this or looking for that to make sure that this fits to this. And so I haven't even looked back. I mean, I'll pay whatever money the tool costs, because I know that there's a lot more that goes with it. And then the warranty on top of that.
Yeah. Oh,
that's something a lot of people fail to realize. You know, they're like, oh, I can just go to the store and buy X brand. Well, yeah, you can, but you're paying a premium for a reason. And there's other things that go into it just other than the name. It's the company. It's how they back their tools.
Yes. Someone messaged me last night. I'm trying to remember what tool it was. My first thing I always do is, how old is it? And he said, like, a year old. I go, send it in for repair.
Yeah.
We're going to fix it for you. No ifs, ands, or buts. And it's an industrial warranty. And, I look at this, and I looked at the system early on in, like, 2003. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. This warranty's 3 years? I loved it. And for me, was one of the things that I really enjoyed about it. But here's the difference between you and I. You bought a MIDI with your ETS 125. Yeah, they tried to sell me a dust extractor for my track saw, and I said, no way, you got enough of my money already. But next time I went in there, I tried a sander, and they turned the variable suction down, and the sander started to float. And I was like, oh, I'm sold on that. That'll help reduce swirl marks. So,
yeah.
Similar stories. It's pretty cool.
I think most people do.
Yeah, I think so. You started out building for, you know, the missus, and then it ended up being commissioned work, right?
Oh, yeah.
You still doing commissioned work?
No, I haven't done a commissioned piece. I mean, I've built things for like friends, small things here and there. But I don't, if the right project comes along, then yes, I will do it. And speaking of that, I'm actually getting ready to do one. But that's something with, you know, Hartzell Hardwoods, and it's actually a family member of Hartzell, and the opportunity presented itself, and I want to do something to help them out. And so I'm going to be building a table for one of the family members. So I wouldn't really call that a commission piece, because it's not, you know, like a traditional build that I would do. But for me, the projects all have to do with, if I was going to take a commission piece, it's all based around content. You know, if I have the time, and I think it's a piece of content that I could make beneficial for other people and would be interesting, then yes, I would be interested in doing it. But for the most part, you know, I just kind of gave up on all that. And just, you know, I just like to build what I want to build. And I like to build things my audience wants to know. And it's just been a lot of fun, a lot less stressful.
It seems like you're a gifted educator. And I guess that probably stems from your Army background, isn't it?
Yeah, they learned me real good.
So I can't imagine you being a drill instructor.
I'll show you this weekend.
Huh?
I'll show you this weekend. Oh, no.
I can do push-ups, sir.
Yeah, you don't want to poke the bear. No.
Too cool. Huh.
That was the best job I ever had. And that is the biggest contributing factor to what I am doing now. Because when you go to be a drill sergeant, you're dealing with a bunch of kids, for the most part, from all walks of life, from all over, at all different educational levels. So when you go to drill sergeant school, the thing that they teach you the most is multiple different ways. And Ben Marshall's in here. He could tell you the same thing. He was a drill sergeant as well. They teach you multiple different ways to instruct, so you're able to reach that broad audience. And so I took that. And, you know, some people will say that I talk way too much in my videos and that I could cut a lot of it out. But, you know, to me, I don't care. I want to explain this in a way that not only the beginner could understand, but somebody who has a lot of experience could understand, or maybe find something, or I explain something in a way, or the why I'm doing something. And that's just real big in the Army. You know, here's what needs to get done. Here's how it's done. And this is why you're doing it. And I just tried to take that and impart that into my videos. And so far, I think it's been pretty successful. And that's kind of how I try to tailor my videos.
Okay. So you were doing commission work. How did you get involved? I mean, it's easy, but how did you get involved with social media? And who was your biggest influence to get you going in social media?
So how I got started is, when I started my business, I did like I think most people do, and I went on Facebook Marketplace and I put an ad saying I built custom furniture. And then one day, Nicole, my wife, she said, "Hey, why don't you let me make you an Instagram?" And I'm like, "What's Instagram?" And so she made me an Instagram, and I said, "Hey, this is cool. Now I can have one place where I can post all of my finished shots. And then when I go sit down with a client, I can say, hey, check out my Instagram. Here's the last 10 things that I've built. Or, hey, here's an example of what you're talking about. Hey, here's a color, whatever."
Yeah.
Well, then I quickly realized that people were really engaged with each other on Instagram. So then I started getting excited about it, and I realized it was more of a community. And then that one day made me go, you know what? Why not share some stuff on YouTube? You know, why not share how I got started in woodworking? And so that's what my first video was. I just took my phone and I propped it up against the miter saw station. I hit record, and it's a very awkward, you know, 30 plus minute video of me talking about, in the same spot with poor lighting and poor video quality, you know, how I got woodworking. And I posted that video and I was like, this is pretty cool. I really enjoyed doing that. And then I just started trying to find different things that I could do videos. And then, you know, I finally had a video that did really well. And it's funny because it was the first instructional video that I posted. It was on how to make shaker style doors, using your table saw. And I started the video off by saying, this is my first attempt at doing an instructional video, so it's probably going to suck, but we're going to do it anyways. And that video totally changed my channel. And it also changed what I was going to do, you know, up until now, which I want to do instructional content. I want to teach people. And that is exactly why I did that. Now, biggest influence?
Yeah.
For me, early on, guys like Jay Bates,
yep.
Mark Spagnuolo, you know, people that were doing this for years, they yep. were the videos that I was watching. DIY Pete, he's actually the very first video on woodworking that I ever watched. And his table is the first project that I ever did based on his YouTube video. I'm sorry?
DIY Pete?
DIY Pete, yep.
Oh.
Yeah, he did a farmhouse table, and Nicole actually is the one that found the video and said, why don't you watch this?
Wow.
So I did. And luckily I got to meet him early last year, and I actually said, thank you. You know, I told him, you know, thank you. It's because of your video that is the reason why I started going down this path of woodworking. And so I would say those three. Steve Ramsey, you know, as a beginner, I found his videos extremely valuable.
Woodworking for mere mortals, right?
Correct. Yeah.
That's cool. See, hey, I'm catching on to this social media stuff.
Yeah, you are.
Too cool. So those are good. That's cool. And you would watch those videos and kind of tailor how you would do your videos.
For the video influence, I don't really have like I didn't really ever look at anybody's videos at the time and go, that's how I want to be doing my videos. I just naturally started because I'm comfortable talking and doing things. And once I had that video do well, I was like, this is what I need to be doing. And so I kind of just roll with that. I try not to, you know, there are certain things about people's videos. When I first started on social media, I'm like anybody else. Like I'm using whatever equipment I think I need or I think is best, and the quality is not that good, and you don't know anything about audio. And then as time goes on, you start to learn those things. So I have seen things in other people's videos, like transitions that they use and all this other stuff. And, you know, I've learned from that, but in terms of like the style of video, I don't really know if I have anybody that comes to mind where I'm like, I'm trying to make videos like the style that they make. You know what I mean?
Sure. Okay. Let me see. I have another question here for you. And I asked this in the first podcast. You know, we're just coming through this last year of 2020, right? And the pandemic and everything. Give me a silver lining. Give me something good that has come across. It was a trying year, I would imagine, for you, right?
Yeah. But
what was maybe a silver lining that you take out of the pandemic year? I personally have several that I'll share with you someday, because this, I mean, Festool Live for me, we started Festool, just went gangbusters. Tell me a little bit about 2020 and how do you get through it?
Well, so the obvious positive part was I got to spend a lot more time with my son and my wife.
There you go.
But when it relates to what I do and what I plan on doing in the future, for me, it's very easy. It gave me an opportunity to see what Bent's Woodworking could be when I retire.
Ah, gotcha.
Because for a very long time, just like you,
yeah.
Teleworking. And really not even so much teleworking. Like everybody was kind of just quarantined doing their own thing. Well, what did that do? It gave me an opportunity to be in the shop constantly and go for things that I've always wanted to go for and I haven't had the time to do. The downside coming out of that is now that I've, you know, ramped back up at work and it's more of a normal thing now. I mean, not more of a normal thing. It is a normal thing now. I obviously have to readjust what I'm doing and start focusing on the things that I really want to have done in 2 years when I do retire. So, but absolutely it gave me an opportunity to see, you know, what I'm capable of or what Bent's Woodworking is capable of upon retirement.
You know, I've been talking to you now for about a half hour, Jason, and I haven't seen your head tilt to the left or right. There it is! You silver!
Ben actually commented on there. He said, what's that silver thing that's behind your head? And while you were talking, I was going to go...
That is so funny. So what happened that you got that YouTube silver? What are you going to do to get there? What happened?
To get it, you have to get 100,000 subscribers on YouTube.
How many you have now?
125, somewhere around there.
That's amazing.
Close to it.
Are you okay? Oh, I got to be careful with this, but are you shocked? It happened so quick, right? Are you surprised or calculated or?
Well, surprised, yes, because when I started on all this and I knew I was going to get serious about social media, goal of mine was I figure if I can hit 100,000 subscribers, and this is back when I thought that, you know, the numbers were the most important thing, which, you know, they're not. But back then I was like, if I can hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube and I can hit 50,000 followers on Instagram, you know, maybe I could actually do this as a business, the social media thing when I retired. Well, then I hit those numbers. And so now it's like, I don't have numbers in mind at all for by the time I retire. Now it's just other things that I want to do. And in terms of speed, I definitely wouldn't say that compared to a lot of other people on the platform, it's definitely not fast. But I'm not concerned about, you know, growing a certain speed to any certain number, right? Sure. I'm in a particular niche. I do videos that I think will be helpful and that I think are good. And because of that, you know, not to mention, you know, just alone, the tools that I use alone will automatically filter a lot of people out. Just because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have this common misconception that, you know, I can't do that if I don't have that tool. And that's unfortunate, but, you know, that I'm really not too concerned about it. I'm happy with the growth. It's been fairly consistent. Yeah. But it isn't my driving factor. You know, the size of my audience is not my driving factor.
It's the content and the quality of content, right?
Right. Getting stuff like that is cool, right? And I put it up there because I love looking at it every day. It was an accomplishment for me, right? That when I set out on this, I was like, I want to get that. But what means more to me is the messages that I get on a regular basis that say, hey, I just wanted to let you know, I saw your video on this and it pushed me over the edge to buy that tool. And I'm so glad that I did. I love it. Hey, I watched your video on how to do this. And because of that, I was able to tackle this big project in my house and I saved thousands of dollars. And now I love woodworking. Yep. Those are the kind of messages that I like. And that's why I'm in the social media thing. It's not because of all the other stuff. It's because I enjoy the interaction with the people and knowing that I'm actually making a positive impact on them.
Yeah, that's so cool. Okay. So just to wrap up, I got two more questions here.
Okay.
What is your, I'm going to bring it back to Festool. I got to do it.
All you ever want to do is talk about Festool.
What's your favorite Festool accessory?
Accessory. Ooh. Would the Vaxxis be considered an accessory?
That's a tool.
Dang it.
But that's good because a lot of people think, oh, it's a clamp, which it is, but it's actually, you got a serial number, so we consider it a tool.
Okay, so if I have to break it down to an accessory and not a tool, it's one of two things. Believe it or not, the little scraper that comes with the Conturo, I love that.
That is so cool. I do too.
And then also the edge sander attachment for the ETS 125, I think is a really, really, really cool accessory. Bluetooth is also awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't have a house and I think I'm going to buy a new CT26 just so I can put a Bluetooth on it.
Yeah.
Because, tell you what, when I'm cleaning up and I get that 20-foot hose on there, I'm the laziest person on the planet. I want to turn it on and off. Okay. So I'm going to wrap this up and I am going to ask you, I'm going to start to have like two or three questions at the end here. And this is going to be one that I'm going to always ask. If you could only have one Festool tool the rest of your life, only one, which one would it be?
The new track saw.
Man, I owe you a lot of money next weekend, don't I?
Yeah, no. Holy it would because... With what I do, the types of projects that I like to do, the track saw 100%. Now, the Domino is great, and I would be very hard to be without. But I use the track saw a lot more than I use the Domino.
Very interesting, because you know what? That would be mine. I always have to have a track saw.
Yeah.
Jeez. Huh. Too cool. By the way, that question, what's your favorite Festool accessory? That was asked amongst us here at Festool probably about 10 years ago. And I had two that everybody says, I would say the clamp, or someone would say, this. And my two that I can't work without is the LR32 system and the Festool. See?
I guess, that is an accessory. Yeah.
Yep.
That is an accessory.
Yeah, for sure. Those are my two favorite. Cool. Well, I know how much time is of value to you and your family. So I am going to wrap this up. And I want to say,
the bill.
You want to add?
The bill is in the mail.
Too cool.
I'm just kidding. No, it's just, thank you for having me on. I was super excited to do this. I just can't wait till I can actually come up there and hang out in the actual shop, and we can do it together.
And we're definitely going to have you back. We've already been talking about it. I can't thank you enough. You're one of our great Festool advocates out there. We appreciate all the stuff you do with us. So thank you for being here for Festool Shop Talk episode number 2. And these will live eventually on Apple and Spotify and a couple other places you can get podcasts. So we're just getting testing going now, but it'll be on there for good. So Jason, we really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay.